Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Benny, before you get to your Mike Schilt love, Troy Lovullo said last night about those plays in the outfield, and I got a text from a buddy. I wanted to ask you guys the same question. He said, they're tremendous plays made by great athletes. It just goes to show you good defense can help you win games and win moments. If you add it all up, it was a difference in the game. I've never seen two in one game. Both were incredible plays. My buddy Tyler texted me last night. He goes, have you ever seen two home runs robbed in the same game? And I go, surely it's been done before. I can't think of one. And when Torey Lovullo, who's been around the game for however long he's been around, 30, 40 years, whatever it is, he's like, I've never seen that twice in a game. I go, okay, surely, like,
that's a tough one because you can't just Google, like, home run robbing catch. It's just a catch, like, on the stat sheet. So if you go into something like Baseball Reference, it's not going to tell you that it was brought back from over the wall, but I can't remember a specific game that had two like home run robbing catches for the same like team, but I'm sure it happened.
Kirby Puckett and Dan Gladden didn't go over the wall in one game against, you know, the Red Sox in 1986.
Now, was it a
1-0
game that changed the outcome? I have no idea about that as well. You see crazy things in baseball every day. Yesterday was the first time in baseball history that had an inside the park home run to start a game. That was Lawrence Butler of the A's. And an inside-the-park home run to end a game.
Yeah.
And that was Patrick Bailey's three-run walk-off inside-the-park home run at Oracle as the Giants beat the Phillies last night 4-3.
What a way to lose a ball game. Up 3-1 in the ninth, you load the bases. And Patrick Bailey, who is...
Two on, sorry.
Who is not a good hitter at all.
Not fast.
Like
the last guy you'd expect inside the park.
He beats you on a, I mean, it hit that funky little corner. And
I mean,
just,
he did hit the snot out of the ball.
He hit the crap out of that ball. And, yeah. It
wasn't an unfair outcome for the Phillies.
No, just what we did not need was the Giants winning.
We respect Torey Lovullo, but.
You just said Lovullo.
Torey Lovullo.
But the first time you said Lovullo.
I know. I have the same issue that you do.
Oh, God.
Because it's a U in his name.
Here we go.
It is a U in his name.
How dare you? You said it in the same sentence. You said it two different ways.
I'm looking at it, and when I see it, my mind wants to say Lovullo. But it's Lovullo.
This sucks.
You know, we're just going to bang the interview.
Just bang it. Cancel it.
It's very easy, and I try to remember the privilege of getting to sit in this chair. Wanted to do this my whole life, and now I have the opportunity. We shape a little bit of, I think, what Padres fans think about their teams in the morning. Now, you got your own opinions out there, but we gently massage what you think about the teams. And it's always easy to criticize a manager when they make a bad decision and it costs a game. It's going to happen. We've done it many times over the years, and we will do it again, I am sure. Mike Schilt knows this and you know, hopefully understands that as part of the job. It's very easy to forget, though, when a manager makes a tough decision and it works out. And that happened a couple of times last night where we could be ripping Mike Schilt this morning for two decisions if they had not worked out. The first one came in the top of the fourth inning when the Diamondbacks had their first rally against Nick Pivetta. They got two on, had that little swinging bunt, so second and third. And they decided to intentionally walk Josh Naylor to load the bases. Went with the matchups, you know, righty versus righty and the force play for the double play. But they were also bringing up probably the most dangerous power hitter that we've got right now, you know, in the Arizona Diamondbacks lineup, in Eugenio Suarez, the guy who trying to hit a grand slam to win us all $10 at Denny's this week, if you caught our Monday Don't Do This segment.
I'm amazed it didn't happen.
And someone who has already hit a home run off of Nick Pivetta, has a history and a track record. But the move worked out. Nick Pivetta was able to reach back, strike out Eugenio Suarez after a tough at-bat, and then strike out Yuli Gurriel Jr. We didn't know it at the time.
Lourdes Gurriel.
Yeah, we had Yuli.
Gurriel. What is the problem?
Lourdes Gurriel Jr.
Oh, boy.
Gurriel. It'll be a long day. We still have another show to record after this, just so you know.
But the game could have been lost right there quite easily. The second one, and I guess this credit kind of needs to be spread out because Mike Schilt had already been ejected in the top of the sixth inning. And by the way, I think that was an intentional decision by Mike Shilt.
100%.
To get injected.
No question.
Was it a strike? Yeah. It barely ticked the corner. Was the umpire horrible on both sides all game?
Terrible.
Yes.
Horrible.
But Mike Shilt thought, my team needs something here. Let's just go out and let's get tossed and see if that fires anybody up.
Boy, really lit the offense on fire after that happened.
But to take out then Nick Pivetta, who had struck out Eugenio Suarez in that huge at bat, but thinking, I'm going to make this decision to go with Jeremiah Estrada this time. If Estrada had given up an RBI single or a two-run home run there, we'd be murdering Mike Shilt again this morning.
Okay, would we? He's 103 pitches, his highest that he's gone all season.
Nick Pivetta didn't want to come out.
I know he didn't. So, yeah, maybe. Obviously, that would be a very clear case of couch manager with the benefit of hindsight. I could go either way. I don't like to come in the next thing and go, how could you possibly go to Jason Adam there when he gave up a home run? I'm sitting on my couch, and the play already happened. That happens far too much for my liking. You know, these guys don't make decisions willy-nilly. Like, they don't just go, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling that we're throwing Brian Hoeing right now. Like, there's a reason that they do it. It doesn't work out 100% of the time. By the way, it never will. That's the beauty of baseball. It never will work out 100% in your favor, ever. I mean, you can't manage a perfect game, in my opinion. I just don't think it's possible, unless your pitcher throws a perfect game, and you had no idea that was going to happen.
But I think, regardless of the outcome, it was a smart decision.
I do, too.
Don't give Suarez a third look there at Pivetta when he can hurt you. You got a fresh Jeremiah Estrada in the bullpen, and boy, Estrada just wiped him out in that at-bat.
It was awesome.
Really, really nice job by Jeremiah Estrada.
Got in his dome immediately, threw the chitter first pitch, and he was like, oh, God. Oh, no. What's coming now? I mean, it just, what a gutsy, brazen pitch. It has not been his best pitch this year. I know it comes and goes, but to start that power hitter like Eugenio Suarez off with that pitch, Ben, he's done. He's done. He's geared up. He's ready. And he goes, oh, my God, what was that? And then boom, boom. Estrada was brilliant. Brilliant last night. The entire bullpen was brilliant last night.
And they will still probably have at least Adrian Morejon available for today, since he only faced a couple of batters. So
got himself a nice dub for that.
Yeah, he did get the dub. And Adrian Morejon has been outstanding, as we know, all season long.
I know we've talked about it before. Do they need to change?
Yes.
Who gets the W?
The win. The actual W next to your name.
And
in
I don't
the
know
newspaper.
How much it matters to guys in 2025. I think it still does. I think they still would rather see a W next to you. Like, are you telling me if you watch every pitch of that game, Morejon deserves the W
the
for
win.
A third of an inning and not Nick Pivetta?
No. No. No.
Just because
no,
Morejon
no,
happened
no.
to be the last pitcher when Arise hit the home run.
Correct.
He gets the dub. I think that's weird.
It's very weird.
It's very weird.
Pitcher wins have been devalued, certainly. You know, I don't know. I would think it would be pretty cool to win 20 games in the show. I think it would be incredible, you know? You win 20 in the show, you can let the fungus grow back on your shower shoes, Ben. Then the press will think you're colorful.
I've always said that they could change the rules a little bit. I don't think a starter needs to go five anymore to get a win, but they keep that rule in there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's no discretion. It's, you know, the rules are the rules. The pitcher who is in when the team takes the lead gets the win if they never give up the lead again.
I think it stinks.
That's just how it's always worked.
You go out there and twirl a shutout in your, what, 5 2/3 and
104 pitches.
104 pitches.
And then the guy comes in and throws 8 pitches and takes your win.
Takes your dub, the vulture.
Because that's when the run came.
Yeah, it comes in and vultures a dub from you.
What's worst is when, let's say the Padres had been up 1-0, and then someone comes in, gives up the one run, and then they go and take a 2-1 lead.
Then they get the win.
And now they really take, they gave up the lead.
They gave up your lead.
And they took the win away from you at the same time.
Again, like Paulie says, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it matters very much. Nick Pivetta deserves a W next to his name for the way he pitched last night.
Before we get to the Incorporator, though, I do have to point out, being, you know, see all sides guy, just like we talked about yesterday, there is only one formula for victory right now for the San Diego Padres.
Yes.
It's nice when it happens. Get a great pitching performance, turn it over to Estrada, Morejon, Adam, and Suarez, and sneak out the one-run or two-run win. Low scoring, 3-2, 3-1, 2-1, 1-0. That's their fifth 1-0 win this year. You cannot survive on 1-0 wins. The Padres need two find other ways to win games, so specifically with some offense. This is not sustainable over the long run in the second half of the season.
No.
They've done a jing to get 7 games above 500 with the offense scuffling for as long as it has. It is not going to continue this way. They're going to start losing too many games if they don't score more than one run. It's already a miracle they've won 5 times when they scored one run.
Truly. And 14 shutouts for this team. Again, you can't say enough great things about how these guys have fought their ass off on the pitching side this year. It's truly amazing. It's remarkable. It really is that they're at this spot right now. And, you know, you do let yourself dream on what could happen if the guys were clicking offensively. If, you know, Xander Bogaerts did what he was supposed to do and Fernando didn't go into the 2-month-long slump and Jackson Merrill wasn't slumping, the team could be deadly. They could be deadly. They have that talent. They have that ability. You're not hoping, Ben, that... You know, these aren't journeyman players, right? These are your superstar cornerstone guys of the team that are all paid like superstars. And all you're asking for is, I want my superstars to play like they're capable of. The sky is the limit, man, with this team, with that bullpen and the guys that have gone out and pieced it together in the starting rotation. Tons of credit. Honestly, tons of credit to Fritzy and Ruben. But I think, you know, as much as the catchers are much maligned on this team, and I think they should be, they have a part in that too. Like, for whatever reason, you know, I don't think we're winning. I feel like they're really comfortable throwing to the tandem of catchers that we have. It's not fun offensively. It's not fun defensively. But for whatever reason, those guys should get some credit for the way that the pitching staff has performed. Not saying I don't want to see it upgraded. I do. But I think right now, man, who knows? Like, those guys are really, they really worked well together last night, and they have all season.
It has to be possible for more than one guy to be hot.
It's got to be.
At the same time,
I've seen it. I swear to God, I've seen it in baseball before.
It just floats around, and only one person can have
grab the
I'm hot stick at any time.
Yeah.
Xander had it for a few minutes. Now Luis Arraez has it. Good to see him have it. Manny had it for a while. Tatis had it at the beginning of the season. Jackson had it for a little while. But they're seemingly, like, impossible to both. You know, you're allowed to have 3 guys hot at the same time. You really are. It's not a requirement that only one guy is allowed to be hot at any given moment over a 162-game baseball season.
Yeah, no doubt. I've seen it happen. I've seen other teams have 3 or 4 guys get hot at the same time. I know it's possible. I don't think it's that big of an ask. Not even, bro, not even hot. Not scorching hot. Not, you know... 10 homers in 15 games. Not even
just performing to your career norms for an extended period of time at the same time that the other guys are also performing to their career norms for an extended period of time.
I mean, again, thank God Luis Arraez has gotten, you know, insanely hot after his really slow start. You know, won that game for us last night. Big part of driving in some runs lately. Like, so you saw the lineup flip. Last night, you saw Jackson move down to the 5. You saw Luis in the 2. The play that you mentioned with the Tatis running and him wrapping into the double play, that's what always kind of makes me nervous about Luis in the 2, because he does swing very freely. And I think, you know, that's why he probably was moved out of that spot. But you had to do it. You had to give Jackson a little bit of a breather, take a little bit of pressure off. And again, we talked about it yesterday. Mention them both specifically, Merrill and Tatis. Neither of them have taken their slumps, their bad times at the plate into the field. And they've both been brilliant, and they were brilliant last night, and they won us that game.
We'll talk more about the lineup change and hear about it from Mike Schilt coming up at the bottom of the hour. Right now, though, I want to pay off the incorporator from yesterday's visit from Jesse Agler. Joined us at 7:35 yesterday morning. Where what do we have audio-wise to set it up, Paulie? Because it was an interesting... It was an interesting way it happened yesterday.
Yeah, I don't have the moment in question, but we had Jesse on yesterday, and I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes into the conversation, we heard just pure chaos in the background.
He's out in his backyard in San Marcos, and he's got his kids because it's the summer, and he's trying to just give me a couple minutes, just play nicely. And then there's a commotion, and all of a sudden, one of his kids got targeted from above by a bird.
Mm-hmm. And so then he said, you know what, let's just get to it now.
It's actually, why don't we just give him the word now, because it's inspired, I think, a new incorporator word.
Yes.
I'm throwing out
droppings.
The old one
dropping. No
the word
guano.
Guano.
It is the scientific name for the excrement of seabirds and bats.
Yep, guano.
Love it.
So, that was the challenge for Jesse last night as the Padres took on the Arizona Diamondbacks. How long did it take him to work guano into the broadcast?
Quite a while, actually. Okay. We've said it before, you get a little nervous. Jesse always texts us right after the word, and after like the sixth inning, you go, oh God, did he forget? I don't want to bug him. It's fine if he forgot. It's cool. We'll be fine.
Yeah, we don't care.
Nope. Sure enough, just past 9 o'clock, Jesse texts me, said, guano.
Late.
It was in the bottom of the eighth inning, and Trenton Brooks was at the plate.
Trenton Brooks will be the batter. Yeah, I was watching another game elsewhere today. I'm not going to say where because I don't want to talk smack. And the playing field was so beat up at this particular stadium. Brooks, check, swing, foul, nothing and one. And we get here, and I mean, we had an event. You and I were both at it the other night, dinner on the diamond here, and you would never know you were on a baseball field, right? We had tables and chairs all over the outfield here at Petco. We show up to begin this series. You would never know. Just a tremendous job by Matt Baylo, the head groundskeeper, and his crew. Wanda Brooks is up and in, 1-1. And look, I know the seabirds that are around here, they dump their guano. They help out with the fertilization and everything. But
God,
the crew we have here at Petco Park puts in incredible work.
Guano. Sounds so weird to hear a guy say guano. He just slides it right in. Real good. That's amazing. He's the GOAT. That's why he's the GOAT. Yep.
Guano. All right, we've got Don't Do This is coming up, and we got some audio for you on one of our DDTs. And then we have one that we can't really play it at all.
We can play some.
Okay.
I mean, we have to play some. If you are on the golf course and you play slowly, you deserve the worst. You better make real sure, though, before you square up to a guy that he wasn't a former NHL enforcer, because it's not going to end well for you, my friend. I couldn't stop watching this video yesterday.
I don't approve of fighting on the golf course, but in this case, the guy had it coming.
He really did.
No
he
doubt
really,
about it.
Really, really did.
We will talk about it coming up next with Ben and Woods. Don't Do This. And then, of course, at 8:35, Torrey Lovello is going to join us ahead on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3. The Fan. First, though, it is 7:17 in the morning. If you're thinking about getting a coffee on your way to work, I could not more highly recommend Better Buzz and their new summer Meet Your Summer Flings menu. Check out everything they've got going on right now at Better Buzz Coffee, locations throughout San Diego. I love the coconut best drink ever. It's their classic best drink, topped with coconut cold cream. If you need something to eat, check out the Blue Crush Acai Bowl or the OG Deluxe Acai Bowl, which is topped with vanilla almond granola, strawberries, blueberries, banana, honey, almond butter, cocoa nibs, and hemp hearts. Yeah, it sounds like some weird ingredients, but it's great energy for your day. Check it out today. Download the app. You can order right there. It'll be waiting for you at any of their many locations throughout the county. Or check them out online by going to betterbuzzcoffee.com.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
DDT on a Wednesday is brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when... A little early. If and when you die.
This.
Set up a Trust Your Will online at trustandwill.com.
This.
Is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Are we in a hurry?
No, I just jumped the gun.
All right.
No, I just did it on purpose.
Why don't you go first?
I like to mix it up.
Since you're just raring to go this morning.
Man, I watched this thing 100 times. How did you miss this yesterday?
I don't know. You showed it to me this morning, and I was shocked that it was, being a golfer and following as many golf people that I do, that it didn't pop into my feed yesterday.
It was
insane
everywhere, and I watched it probably 20 times. It was incredible. Well, listen, here it happens every day on every golf course around America. People drink way too much, and they start playing slowly, and the people behind them, probably also drinking, are like, guys, let's go. Let's get this thing going. You've been here for 23 minutes. You hear them talk about in the video, this is embarrassing. Let us play through and back off. And that's exactly what happened, man. And you know, a group was talking to another group, and it got pretty heated, and they're yelling and cursing at each other. And all of a sudden, man, one guy who is extremely intoxicated decides, you know what? Enough talk. It's time for some action. And he tells this guy, I'm gonna kick your ass, essentially. And the guy that he says it to says, bro, you're not gonna do anything to me. I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen. I'm gonna throw you in that lake right there. If you come at me, I'm gonna throw you in the lake. Guy's like, all right, I'm coming.
I've never seen play-by-play of yourself in a fight like this.
Correct.
It was unbelievable.
It was truly incredible. He goes, I'm gonna throw you in that lake. Guy comes at him, pushes him, he grabs him around the shirt, drags him over the lake, throws him in the lake. Throws him in. Then the guy, you see him emerge like the creature from the Black Lagoon, who's embarrassed. Now he's soaking wet and muddy.
His pants are falling off.
Pants are falling off. He's hammered. Goes at the guy again. As soon as I saw that guy reach in and grab the shirt and cock his hand back, I went, hey, that guy played in the NHL. He just looked like a hockey player. Maybe not in the NHL, but he played hockey. Classic.
There is one where the guy comes back at him and he flings him like 15 feet.
So it was former NHL player Nick Tarnowski is the one that ended up delivering the blows to this guy. And he picked him up, threw him in the lake.
Credit to the cameraman
was genius.
He really did a nice job with the cinematography of the whole incident.
Now, Tarnowski played 245 games in the NHL between 2005 and 10. He played for the Tampa Bay Lightning, Nashville Predators, Florida Panthers, 6'2", 230. Racked up 297 penalty minutes in his professional career. Never had problems dropping the gloves. That was kind of what he was there for. And he messed this guy up, dude. I mean, he punched him 5-6 times. Now, the interesting audio you'll hear is him actually yelling out the word bang every time he punched this guy in the face.
You want another?
He just came at me.
I got it all on record.
Record.
I got it all on record.
Hey!
You want
to go, guys? Leave him alone. Hey, leave him alone, man.
I wouldn't keep going back, you moron.
Bang!
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 Come on, man.
Bang!
Bang! Bang! Bang! Bang! Bang! Bang! Bang! Bang! Bang!
Bang!
Bang! Bang! Bang! Bang! Bang! Bang! Bang!
Bang! Bang! Bang! Bang!
He picks him up, and they warned him 100 times.
Warned him many times.
The Canadians, man, yelling at each other. Sorry. Sorry.
I never get it. If you are a slower player, just let the group behind you go through. There's never a problem.
Ben, they were hammered.
Still,
they
even if you're hammered, just take your time. Let the guys go through behind you. Now, also, bring a little patience to the golf course. There's always going to be some waiting out there.
Yeah,
so,
but you could tell this had been boiling
over. If there's room
over
out in front of you, they'll be gone in 2 minutes, and then you don't have to worry about it. There shouldn't ever be any incidents on the golf course.
I mean, imagine. You decide, yeah, I've had 16, 17 transfusions today. I've had a couple shots of tequila, and I'm feeling pretty tough. I'm feeling pretty strong. I got sleeved up arm. I'm tough. I'm a tough guy. And the guy you pick a fight with was an enforcer in the NHL. That's something that would happen to me. That's why I don't.
My DDT audio required less bleeping. Just one, in fact.
You're making me work today.
I did make Paul take one little bit out. Came from the Dodgers-Brewers game. And former Padres interim skipper Pat Murphy, now the Brewers manager, they had him on the mic on the Brewers television broadcast, just put on the headset, and within moments, he was commenting, and I think he forgot he was on the mic, when one of his guys lifted a deep fly ball that did not quite make it all the way over the fence.
Manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, Murph, thanks for spending some time with us. We've got to get your thoughts, what you've seen so far from your flamethrower, Jacob Mizorowski. It's pretty elite stuff here as...
The less bomb on the
We thought we had the good vibes going there, Murph.
You just put the headset on like 5 seconds ago. I can see if you're like deep into a conversation, and after a few minutes, it's happened to guests of ours where they forget they're on the air and they say something they shouldn't. We have to dump it. He was only on for like 8 seconds, and he already dropped an S-bomb on the interview on live television.
Just a baseball manager. Just through and through. Did you hear what he had to say, Pat Murphy?
About Mussorgsky?
About Mussorgsky, who was brilliant last night.
12 strikeouts.
The Dodgers, yeah. Gives up the leadoff bomb to Ohtani and then just settles in. He's nasty. Pat Murphy talked about him before the game. He said he's just broken the shell, man. He's just out of the arms and legs. He's still got gooey stuff coming off him. He's something special. Only Pat Murphy could come up with a
great imagery.
A great imagery.
He should be a baseball writer, not a manager.
So good.
It's fantastic imagery for a young rookie pitcher. Man, still got gooey stuff
that
coming
kid,
off of him.
That kid is filthy. Filthy.
Yeah.
And then a little doo-doo this.
D.D. Mega doo-doo.
Now, I know it's going to be a little bit of Giants loving, but when something happens once every 100 years, I think you can pay a little bit of extra love to it.
Tip the cap.
We talked about it. We briefly referenced it earlier in our 6 o'clock hour, but last night, Patrick Bailey with a walk-off, three-run, inside-the-park home run. The audio from KNBR and Dave Fleming is pretty great. Play that for you in a second. And it's also the factoid that I saw about 15 minutes ago on MLB Network that really made me laugh. But here's what it sounded like on the Giants radio broadcast.
First and third, one out. Patrick hits a high drive. Deep right center field. This one is off the top of the wall. And it ricochets. And it's rolling on the warning track. Two runs are in. Bailey coming around third. Patrick Bailey scores!
Great call.
It's an inside the park walk-off home run. Now we've seen everything. And Patrick Bailey gets tackled as he crosses home plate. Amazing!
It was unbelievable. And then I was watching, we got MLB Network here in the studio, and they put up a graphic. It's only happened two other times. Catchers with walk-off inside the park home runs. The last one was Benny Tate, August 11th, 1926. Their factoid for him, he was a coal miner before joining a semi-pro team, went on to a career with the Browns and the Senators.
The picture that they show makes him look like he was very happy to trade in his coal mining career.
He's grinning, grinning from ear to ear, sitting on a wicker chair.
That's all they had back then.
That's it.
Wicker. They had nothing other than wicker.
Wood and wicker.
The only other time it had happened was Pat Moran from 1907, August 4th, 1907. His factoid, heavy drinker that worked at a textile mine as a kid.
I don't know how much Pat Moran drank in 1907.
Why would they put that on the factoid? Heavy drinker that worked at a textile.
He drank textile.
Textile mine textile. As a kid. What is a textile?
Textiles, like fabrics.
It? Okay. One World Series as Reds manager in 1919.
Imagine that you drank so much that it's still notable 120 years later.
That's your factor.
That's what you're known for.
The guy pounded booze, man. He just crushed it.
You drank so much.
Crushed it.
That, yeah, television hasn't been invented for many, many years. But when it is, and they're going to be talking about you in 120 years, they're going to mention how much you drank.
Yeah. Yeah. 120 years later. That's how legendary. What's his name? Bugs Moran?
Pat Moran.
That's how much that guy took it to the dome.
Patrick Bailey, Benny Tate, and Pat Moran.
Pat Moran.
He doesn't look overly soft in that picture.
No.
Looks fairly normal.
Patrick Bailey's a factoid. Homeschooled early on, married college sweetheart.
There you go. Man, that's a big win for the Giants, bro.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Quickly, speaking of walk-off home runs by catchers, not an inside-the-park home run, but read a nice piece the other day when the Rangers were in town. Sean O'Neill wrote it for MLB.com about the only walk-off home run Nolan Ryan ever gave up in his career.
Pretty cool.
And the person who hit it was Bruce Bochy in the 10th inning.
Yep.
For the San Diego Padres, Nolan Ryan was still in the game, pitched nine really good innings, but it was tied at four, and they didn't like their bullpen, so they just left Nolan in for the 10th.
Why not?
He got two quick outs, but Boch came up, and Boch told the story to Sean O'Neill. It was great. He said, all right, there's two outs. It's the 10th inning. I've got no speed. I've got a legendary lack of speed. There's no point in me trying to poke a single because it's going to take two more hits to get me home from first base. So I'm hunting fastball, and I'm going to try to whack it out of the park. And he did, And it was the only time that Nolan Ryan, who of course was a starting pitcher, so you don't get a chance to give up a lot of walk-offs, ever gave up a walk-off home run in his career.
One in his career. Then they rolled out the red carpet they put a red carpet from the dugout to Bochy's locker. A red carpet. And then they put a six-pack of beer in his helmet. A six-pack of beer would fit in his giant, giant helmet. Very cool.
And he said, Boach said later, when Nolan Ryan, years later, he was there with Nolan, and someone asked, oh, Boach, he hit the only walk-off home run. Nolan says, I don't remember. And
Boach goes, right.
You remember.
You remember. One. One guy got you. I love it. I love it.
All right. Let's come back. I want to talk about another lineup change that Mike Shildt made. We'll get some audio from the skipper as well about dropping Jackson Merrill to fifth in the order. And, of course, Big League Wednesday, Torrey Lovello, manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, going to join us in 1 hour, all coming up on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000-466. For a full list of games and rules, play at 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
All right, so the weather's supposed to be pretty warm today. Got a heat advisory out in the East County this afternoon. So if you wanted to go play cards, you could drive out there, find a spot in a 110-degree parking garage, walk your way, I don't know, like 700 yards to get to a card room, or you could head to the coast and head to 7 Mile Casino, where it's going to be cool, comfortable, and you're going to play great card action, California-style blackjack, Texas Hold'em, and more at San Diego's best casino.
Man, when it's 105 degrees, you know my favorite smell? Cigarettes. Walking through a casino, it's 105 degrees outside. No, Ben makes a great point. It's very close, very temperate and cool, and a great place to go sit down and sit on the back patio, have a beer, whatever you want. The food is spectacular. The card games, love California-style blackjack there. If you're a high-limit player, they will take your high-limit action as well. So remember that. Next time you are in the general vicinity, man, it is, if you're downtown, you're at Petco Park, pregame, postgame, excellent place to go.
Any time of day, any day of week. Wednesday morning, Saturday night, whenever you're feeling like it, head down to 7 Mile Casino. It's just 7 minutes from downtown.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Desperate times call for desperate measures, and even Mike Shildt, who famously doesn't like to change his lineups, has done so fairly regularly of late to try to get his slumping offense into gear. Nothing's really worked particularly well.
I would just reverse it. I would just bat Martin Maldonado first. Just go reverse order,
to
see.
The old draw names out of a hat bit.
Great bit. It's a great bit for adult league, not for the big leagues. That's how you lose your job. Start drawing names out of a hat.
I don't think he's quite that desperate. There was a plan. There was a rhyme and a reason behind it yesterday when Jackson Merrill got to the ballpark and saw his name in the lineup, but not second, not fourth, batting fifth yesterday for the San Diego Padres. Been a really especially tough week at the end of what has been an offensive slump, the longest of Jackson's career. Had that 0-for-5, was robbed of extra bases in the ninth inning on Tuesday. And it just didn't, I think he talked about it before the game, was very candid about it. And he said,
he's always very candid.
I want to keep playing, want to have my chance to hit my way out of the slump, but totally understand as well, maybe getting up as many times as I do in the two hole doesn't make a lot of sense right now.
Yeah. There was a listener that was at the game the other night, and I don't know if you guys saw this tweet, but it was between ABs. So Jackson Merrill, the night before last, so Tuesday night, Monday night, had the three straight strikeouts. Then he had hit a pop fly, and then he got robbed there in the last inning. But in between the three strikeouts, Ben, while his team was in the dugout, he went down to the cage. And the dude had home plate club tickets and snapped a picture of Jackson in there grinding off the tee in the middle of a game, grinding, just hitting 50 balls before his next AB. he's in it. He's in the S right now. And I think it happens to every great hitter. I think it happens to everybody that's ever played this game. It's so hard to do. And when you feel like you're lost, you just feel, if I can work harder and hit more baseballs, that will be the answer. It's not always the case. You know, it worked for Mookie Betts last year in the playoffs, but it's not always the case. He's grinding and gritting his teeth through this, trying to hit his way out of it, as you said.
He made an interesting observation as well. And he's not necessarily wrong, but I think we'd all tend to agree that Jackson, his primary or one of his primary offensive issues right now is chasing, especially balls up, just swinging and missing at pitches he shouldn't be swinging at. It. And while he didn't disagree with that, he thinks the bigger issue is I'm missing balls that I should be hitting.
Yep.
If I was hitting those, I wouldn't have a chance to swing and miss at the pitches that are out of the zone. I'm getting pitches in the zone that I used to hit.
Yep.
I used to drive for base hits. So it wasn't an issue before because I never got to the point where I had to chase something because I was always hitting it. It's the fact that I'm fouling off the good pitches to hit that I'm getting, the ones, the mistakes by the pitcher that are, you know, low and in, over the middle that I used to drive, and then I foul them off, and then, you know, I'm in a bad count, pitcher is getting me to chase, which is bad as well.
Correct.
But you wouldn't know it if I was just doing what I normally do, and that is hit those balls that are in the zone.
Manny missed a couple last night, too, that he was probably laying in bed at night thinking, I have to hit that ball out of the ballpark. There were two from Merrill Kelly. I think one was a fastball, one was an off-speed. They both hung, and he put really good swings on it, and he missed it by a fraction of an inch, and fouled both balls away, and then change up down and in, got him. You know, it's been crushing him a little bit lately. So he would tell you the same thing. I'm missing the pitches I need to do damage on. Shohei said it last week. I'm missing pitches. So, yeah, I mean, once they have you 0-2 or 1-2 and it's in their favor, Benny, you're at their mercy. I mean, now with Jackson, he thinks they're going to go up in the zone every time. So he's like, don't swing, don't swing, don't swing. Pretty good time to throw one on the outside corner, and he's just going to sit there and stare at it because he's maybe looking up, and he sees it out of his hand, and he goes, all right, that's hittable. I can get to that, at least foul it off. And it's just not happening for him right now. So I think, you know, again, with him, this was really brilliant. I thought this was really good last night. Our pal, Letters to AJ, if you don't follow Dylan on social media, Letters to AJ, he also writes a Substack. You know what he said about this? He said, with Toddy and Jackson, all they need is a tincture of time. Isn't that beautiful? A tincture of time. That's the only thing that you can give them that is going to work. Just a tincture of time. I don't think
tincture is a good word. Could be an incorporator. It's like a small dose of something, like a droplet. A tincture.
A tincture of time. And it's the hardest thing for fans to swallow. It's the hardest thing for, you know, those guys to swallow because they do want to win.
They
do want
to
battle.
We should get Letters to AJ on the program. Paulie, make that happen.
All right, cool.
It's done. Tomorrow, 9 a.m.
All right, yeah. Nice. Well, good work, Paulie. He's the fastest producer that was ever
existed. Ask and you shall receive.
Right, so yep. Tomorrow, Eno's on vacation, so we're going to get a different version of Smart Baseball with Dylan. Letters to AJ is going to join us in our regular segment where we normally talk to Eno Saris.
Correct.
Paulie, you've got the audio from Mike Schilt talking about the lineup switch with Jackson Merrill pregame yesterday. Let's hear from the skipper.
Talked about the things that you could do to help Jackson. Is moving him down the lineup one of those things that you were alluding to last night?
It's one of the bigger ones, you know. Just take a little bit off. Just get down a little bit. Don't feel like you got to carry so much at the top. Go down there and, you know, be around some other good hitters, and which clearly was the top. But, yeah, just not feeling like he's got it too much. But, you know, quite frankly, it's something that, you know, I'm doing. But I really don't have a lot of concern about Jackson Merrill. You know, I love on him, make sure he's doing okay, but Jackson's a really strong-minded kid, and he knows he's a good player. And when you know you're a good player, I think we all have something in our lives that don't always go right. But if you have a good center core of knowing who you are and knowing how you are when you're good, and you have the ability to work towards getting back to that, you're going to ultimately be just fine.
Mike Schilt is a big believer in my guys are going to be okay.
Yes.
Which is usually correct. It's hard to know when it's no longer correct.
I think for a guy like Jackson Merrill, you feel pretty confident saying that with your whole chest if you're the skipper.
Now, I do as well, but, you know, he's still very young.
Yeah.
He's 21 years old or just turned 22. He's very young. And there are guys who, you know, have some success early and it doesn't stick around. Now, the Padres bet big on Jackson Merrill
yeah.
and signed him to a long-term extension. That's how much they believe in Jackson Merrill, and I don't think anything has changed internally with the Padres' belief that Jackson Merrill is still going to be that great player they signed to a multi-year extension.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that I don't worry about Jackson Merrill. I do. Like you said, he's a young player, but he's certainly shown me enough in his very short time to know, okay, I know the capability is in there for that guy to be an absolutely elite player for the San Diego Padres. I think he's going through it, and it happens to the best of them. Mike Trout is having a horrible, horrible season, and he's one of the best baseball players I've ever seen. He's a little bit older, a little bit longer in the tooth. He's had some injuries, Ben, but, you know, it's such a difficult, difficult game. Jackson is going to be fine. He has the work ethic. He has the talent. He has the ability. He has the desire to be great. And once he gets a couple of knocks, something's got to go his way too, right? That ball that he smokes to center field that Alec Thomas makes a brilliant play on, that ball falls. Maybe he's right out of it. You know,
I think he's been hurt a little bit by the dead baseball. Last year he was able to go oppo and,
yeah.
and get some of those out. Now they're kind of just deep flyouts for the most part, and that's
been
hurting
right.
him. He said as himself though, doesn't have his grown up. Man strength yet.
Yeah.
Still pretty young, and he thinks that there's still more power to come, and hopefully that is the case. I'm glad you brought up Mike Trout. Paulie sent us an interesting video yesterday from our friend Chris Rose. Wanted to bring it up here the last couple of minutes of the hour after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Yeah, Paulie sent us a video yesterday, and we can call it up, but Chris Rose was talking about after Manny Machado's 2000th hit on Monday night, where he kind of ranks in the pantheon of his generation of players, guys who came up in the, you know, early 2010s. 2012 was his Major League Baseball debut, and he was comparing him to Bryce Harper and Mike Trout. And nationally, the perception is, of course, well, Manny Machado third among those guys in
right.
his era. And then he started talking about the actual numbers of how, well, if you look at Manny's numbers, they're better than Bryce Harper's.
Yeah.
And while Mike Trout obviously had the best numbers early, he doesn't look like he's going to have the longevity that a Manny Machado is going to bring. So that when his career, all three of those careers are over and done with, will we look back and say Manny Machado was the best player of his quote-unquote era of the kind of the mid-2010s when he came up with those other guys, which would shock a lot of people.
I think obviously only time will tell, but the fact that, you know, he does make himself available to play every single day is a big one. It's just a massive one for Manny Machado. And I saw the comparison yesterday of Arenado and Manny, and I shudder to think where Manny would be sitting if he got 9 years at Coors Field. If Manny Machado got 9 years to play at Coors Field, how many home runs would he have right now? He is at how many? 357. 357. Is that right? Yeah, 357. What's he sitting on if he had nine of his years in Coors Field? 450. 430. You're right? Like, no question about
yeah.
it. No, he goes from that 30 home run a year guy to a 40 home run. And that he does that for 9 years. That's 90 home runs. That dude is cruising. He's going to get 500 in the next few years, right? If he plays 9 years there. So these comparisons are fun. It fills time, certainly. All three of those guys are absolutely elite players, but the longevity, the ability to stay on the field is really what, I mean, look at the games played. It's right here. Manny, 1825. Mike Trout, 1582. That's like two seasons.
Yeah, the metrics certainly favor Trout because
yeah.
he produced more when he was in there. But you feel like his WAR, 86.6, that's going to dry up very soon.
Big time.
He's almost done. Manny may be going on another. He's got eight more years left on his Padres contract.
Right.
He's still going strong.
It's
surprising,
crazy.
Though, when you look at the stats side by side by side, Bryce Harper doesn't lead the other two in a
Anything.
Single category.
Not one. Yeah, I've said it for years. He's not appreciated enough.
All right, hour number three on a Big League Wednesday. Torrey Lovello, manager of the Diamondbacks, take on Woods coming up as well. Don't go anywhere. Ben and Woods continues on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.